What do you say to a friend who's lost? Not lost in the metaphorical sense we casually toss around over coffee, but truly adrift. Medication bottles lining the counter, police record pending, brother dead by suicide, purpose evaporated. This was the question facing Eric Greitens when his fellow Navy SEAL, Zach Walker, reached out late one night. Instead of offering platitudes or professional referrals, Greitens began writing letters. These weren't clinical prescriptions, but raw, honest explorations of what it means to rebuild a life from rubble. The letters became Resilience, a book that refuses to sugarcoat the human condition. Here's the uncomfortable truth it offers. Your greatest growth won't come from your victories. It will come from the moments that break you open, if you're willing to do the hard work of putting yourself back together differently than before. This isn't self-help promising 7 easy steps to happiness. This is a field manual for the inevitable wars we all face. Everyone has a front line. For Walker, it was literal, enemy territory in distant lands. But what about yours? Maybe it's the hospital room where you sit with a dying parent. Perhaps it's the mirror each morning as you face another day of unemployment. It could be the marriage that's quietly dying or the career that stopped making sense years ago. These front lines aren't metaphors. They're the actual places where you meet what terrifies you most. Here's what makes front lines paradoxical. They're simultaneously where we're most vulnerable and most alive. Think about the times you felt truly present in your life. Chances are, you were facing something difficult. The birth of your child, the presentation that could make or break your career, the conversation where you finally told the truth. We don't feel most human in comfort. We feel most human under pressure. Resilience isn't about avoiding these front lines or bouncing back unchanged. That's physics, not psychology. You can't unbreak a bone and have it be exactly as it was. Instead, resilience means moving through hardship and integrating it into who you're becoming. Pain doesn't diminish you when properly metabolized, it becomes wisdom. Fear transforms into courage. Suffering forges strength. Not automatically, not magically, but through deliberate practice and conscious choice. 2,500 years ago, Sophocles told a story that still cuts to the bone. Philoctetes, a master archer, suffered a wound that wouldn't heal. His companions abandoned him on a deserted island for 10 years, unable to bear his cries and the wound's stench. Yet when they needed his bow to win their war, they returned. The story reveals two truths. We cannot abandon our wounded who still have something vital to offer, and our wounds don't exempt us from serving others. We treat pain as disqualifying us from meaningful action. We wait to heal before serving, to feel better before helping. But what if healing happens through serving? What if purpose is the medicine, not the reward for getting better? Philoctetes couldn't separate his wound from his gift. They were part of the same man. Neither can we. Your struggles don't disqualify you from contributing. Properly understood, they become the source of your most meaningful contributions. The parent who lost a child comforts the newly bereaved in ways the untouched cannot. The recovered addict understands the struggling one's battle from the inside. Your wound, when integrated rather than hidden, becomes your credential. Our culture sells a disempowering lie. You are your feelings. Ancient wisdom offers something radically different. You are not your emotions, and you can train them like your body. Plato imagined the self as a chariot pulled by 2 horses, noble and base emotions, guided by reason as charioteer. You're the driver, not the passenger. Feeling jealous differs from being jealous. Experiencing fear differs from being controlled by it. This distinction creates space for agency. Start with identity, not feelings. Decide who you want to be, then act accordingly. Your feelings will follow. Want confidence? Act confident first. Stand straight, make eye contact, speak clearly. The feeling emerges from action, not vice versa. We've been taught to wait for the right feeling before acting, leaving us hostage to shifting moods. When Walker felt purposeless, Greitens challenged him to act purposely, to serve, train, commit, and discover that purpose emerges from purposeful action. This isn't fake it till you make it positivity. It's understanding that character is built through repeated action, not wished into existence. You become brave by acting bravely while afraid. We romanticize transformation as dramatic moments, the rock bottom that changes everything. But real transformation happens through unglamorous daily choices repeated until automatic. Your habits aren't chains. They're rails that free you to focus on what matters. Your morning routine runs automatically, freeing mental energy for important decisions. Imagine consciously deciding every action. You'd be exhausted by noon. The challenge is ensuring habits serve your chosen identity. If you want to be a writer but habitually scroll social media each morning, your habits contradict your aspirations. The solution isn't willpower. It's resetting your natural point of aim. Like adjusting a rifle's sights, small daily changes compound into dramatically different destinations. Children fail constantly while learning to walk, read, ride bikes. Each failure is data, not defeat. Adults avoid situations where we might stumble, killing growth. The excellent fail more than the mediocre because they attempt more. Walker needed to rebuild habits, physical training, purposeful work, meaningful connection. Not for magical cures, but because consistent practice gradually reshapes character and capacity. One workout doesn't make you fit, but 1,000 workouts accumulate into transformation. Happiness isn't a feeling, it's a fact of living well. The ancient Greeks called it flourishing, observable like a healthy tree. Three primary sources create this flourishing: pleasure, grace, and excellence. Pleasure, good food, warm sunshine, restful sleep, varies with context. An apple after days of hunger brings ecstasy. The same after Thanksgiving dinner barely registers. Pleasure matters, but it's the thinnest form of happiness. Grace emerges when we appreciate unearned gifts: the sunset you didn't create, the child you didn't design, the friend who chose you. This happiness comes through recognition, through saying thank you to life itself. Excellence brings the deepest satisfaction, pushing yourself to grow, master challenges, exercise your powers toward worthy goals. This is why children climb trees nobody asked them to climb. Joy meets us along the path of excellence, not at the destination. Directing these three toward others transforms them. Knitting brings pleasure and exercises excellence, but knitting for a dying friend adds meaning. Some veterans struggle after war, not just from trauma, but from losing intense purpose. Purpose isn't discovered like hidden treasure. It's created through action, failure, learning, and persistence. Purpose emerges from cycles of action, small victories, commitment, failures, and learning repeated thousands of times. True vocation lives at the intersection of your great joy and the world's great need. Almost any activity pursued with purpose can become a vocation. The difference isn't the activity, but your relationship to it. Over time, work becomes part of your identity. You study it, enjoy it, build friendships through it, take pride in it. The only lasting cure for boredom is meaning. Rather than eliminating distractions, we need devotion so intense that distractions fall away naturally. The problem for those with untapped talents isn't too many distractions, it's too few devotions. Walker needed the happiness of excellence directed towards serving others, the combination that creates unshakable meaning. Teachers, parents, and caregivers face difficulty and frustration, yet they're sustained by joy in the work itself. Without this combination, people drift, seeking pleasure without excellence, comfort without challenge. But the human soul wasn't designed for perpetual ease. We're built to struggle toward worthy goals, to serve purposes larger than ourselves, to exercise our powers in pursuit of excellence. The path forward requires choosing responsibility over excuses, action over waiting, purpose over comfort, understanding that you are not your emotions, that your wounds don't disqualify you from serving, and that the pain you're experiencing has been faced by countless others who emerged stronger. In a world selling comfort, resilience offers a radical truth. Your pain has purpose, your struggle has meaning, and your hardship, properly engaged, will make you more fully human, not despite the breaking, but because of it. This isn't romanticizing suffering. It's recognizing that pain will find us regardless, and our response is the only thing within our power. Your frontline awaits, the place where you meet what terrifies you, where you're most vulnerable and most alive. You can't avoid it. You can only choose whether you'll face it with the wisdom of those who've walked through fire before you, or alone with modern culture's empty promises. Resilience isn't a certificate you earn. It's a way of being, developed through practice, refined through failure, strengthened through service. Greitens's letters weren't just for one struggling SEAL. They're for everyone standing at their own front line. Start where you are. Take responsibility. Build habits. Serve others. The path to wisdom runs through pain, but you don't walk it alone.